not as cold as today, high 33. And Sunday, cloudy to partly sunny. There could be some freezing rain at night, the high near 30. For AccuWeather, I'm meteorologist Elliot Abrams on your radio friend, WRJN.
Thank you, EA. We've got partly sunny skies in Kenosha. It is 12 degrees. Partly cloudy at Municipal Airport in Burlington, the home of Jeannie Hefty, who will be joining us later on. It is 10 degrees there. At Milwaukee's Mitchell International Airport, cloudy skies, 11 degrees. And at Magnum.media's international headquarters in Racine, at WRJN, cloudy skies, 12 degrees. The wind is out of the north at 8 miles an hour, producing a wind chill index of a goose egg. The dew point is -1, the relative humidity 56%, and the barometric pressure is rising at 30.78. It is 9 minutes after 9 o'clock, and good morning. It's a beautiful day in Wisconsin for, thank God, it's Friday, January 13th, 2017. The only one of two Friday the 13th in 2017 in the history of humanity. Let us choose on purpose, with a purpose, to have a lucky one. Is working for the weekend. Loverboy on your radio friend. 13 minutes after 9 o'clock on your Thank God It's Friday the 13th. This is your friendly neighborhood radio talk show host, play-by-play man, and color analyst for life, all wrapped up into one nice, neat, lovable package working for you beautiful humans on this Friday morning. Welcome in to a big program for you on this 13th of January. Coming up later on this morning, we're going to be talking with the mayor of Burlington, Wisconsin, Jeannie Hefty, one of our favorites. I'm wondering if Mayor Hefty is conflicted when the Packers play the Dallas Cowboys, because, of course, they have Burlington native Tony Romo on their squad. He's now the backup quarterback. This kid, Dak Prescott, has been very impressive. And even though Tony's better now, you got to wonder. I have a good friend of mine who is the principal at Burlington High School. Used to work for me at the summer camp up in Eagle River. Believe it or not, ladies and gentlemen, his name is Eric Burling. And he's the principal at Burlington High School. The Demons. And I know he's conflicted. He's friends with Tony Romo. But maybe the fact that Tony's not playing will let them off the hook for the big game this Sunday. And then, again, later on this morning, we will have the opportunity to talk a little comedy. Nathan Stamper, who's the director of Exit Laughing, that's opening at the Racine Theater Guild, will be talking to him about that performance. But please now welcome to the microphones at Community Conversations at here at WRJN, our good friend, civil rights leader, pastor, and author of the tremendous book on race, the only one in the room. He's here early. Good morning, Milt Thompson.
Good morning, Glenn.
How art thou?
I art good.
You're looking good as always. Although last week you wore the Packer paraphernalia, this week you're in Badger top.
It's whatever I can grab that's the closest and the easiest to put on. I'm not a fashion hound right now.
You don't strategically decide what you're going to wear each day?
No, I don't. When I was working as a superintendent, yes. I wanted to look like I came out of GQ.
I've seen your pictures on Facebook. You failed in that effort. what about when you're getting dressed for church? Do you contemplate? Do you like try to feel like which tie is anointed or something like that?
No, it's funny. I rarely wear a tie, though I wear a sports coat.
What about like the magic underwear? Do you guys do that like the Mormons?
No.
No magic underwear?
No magic underwear.
For Livingstone's Charismatic Fellowship?
Nope, no magic underwear.
You ever go commando? It's Friday, Bill. What can I tell you?
Yeah, too much information.
Or maybe not enough information, if you know what I'm saying. So, you know, we have fun on this radio station. We also get into some very interesting and sometimes intense topics. And the thing that we focus on with Milt, of course, is the whole issue of race. And I was fascinated this week. A survey came out. And President Obama, of course, in his farewell address, did you watch that?
No.
It was before about 14,000 people at this arena in Chicago on the South Side. And, of course, incredibly well-received by the fawning press and by his sycophants and his fans. And it was an hour long. His farewell address was 1 hour long. And I was just curious. So I went back to Reagan's, H.W. Bush's, Bill Clinton's, and George W. Bush's farewell address.
Mm-hmm.
Obama's time before the nation to say goodbye eclipsed all four of them combined.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
That's interesting.
He is really now in the business of trying to save his reputation and his legacy. It's pretty sad. I feel bad for him. I really do.
Yeah, it is... It's interesting because when you look at it big picture, history is the ultimate judge of a president's legacy. And the president that I always refer to is Harry Truman. Harry Truman sort of backed into the presidency by the death of Roosevelt, and people thought he's a shoe salesman from Missouri.
Hat salesman.
Right. Well.
Sell some shoes too.
Yeah, he sold shoes on the side. No, but
he was a haberdasher.
You look at him, and when he was president, and even slightly after that, he would have been a middle of the pack, lower level rank of president. And over the years, he's moved up the charts. You know, respect for the decisions he had to make. And the fact that he was president during a very critical transition right after World War II has caused people to look at him completely differently. Now, there have been other presidents who've fallen. John F. Kennedy, when we were growing up, was, if they could have done Mount Rushmore a little later, he would have been on it.
Right.
But I think that in retrospect, some of the things that he got credit for, like a lot of the civil rights legislation, history has shown that it was a Southerner by the name of Lyndon Baines Johnson, and that it was Robert Kennedy, Bobby Kennedy, who really were the impetus for pushing for a lot of those things. So I think that Kennedy, who would have been, and this is my opinion, which isn't valid, maybe a top five, top seven president.
Why isn't it valid? You're entitled to your opinion.
Because I'm not an official historian. And
yeah, but you're pretty smart and a good dresser.
Well, thank you. That goes without saying. But I think that for some people, as history has moved forward, they've reevaluated his impact because he got a lot of cred with black people for civil rights. But the more you read history, you realize it was Johnson who put forth the Voting Rights Act and a lot of the Great Society programs that, you know, whether you agree that they worked or not, were geared toward helping black people overcome some of the ravages of long-term racism.
You have not watched the movie on LBJ yet, have you?
No, I haven't.
See, I had a word of knowledge there. And you've got to see that movie, dude, all the way. It's the LBJ movie. You got to promise me that before spring training starts, how about that as a goal? You'll watch it. Because it demonstrates what LBJ had to do to get that civil rights legislation passed, and really how such an imperfect person like Johnson, and frankly like Martin Luther King Jr., mm-hmm. whose birthday we're going to be commemorating and celebrating on Monday, were used to pass this most profound social legislation. And another great documentary is the one on Frank Sinatra that HBO also did, mm-hmm. called All or Nothing at All. And in that, it talks about Sinatra's great friendship with Sammy Davis Jr. Now, Sinatra was also friends with Kennedy. And Kennedy did not want Sammy Davis Jr. around when he was around Sinatra because he was prejudiced.
Mm-hmm.
And yet, as president, as you say, he seemed to get a lot of credibility or a lot of credit for moving the needle forward. And I suppose he deserves that. It's one of the reasons that I like nonfiction books. And I never read a fiction book, hardly ever. And why I like documentary, because real life is so much more interesting to me than anything anybody could make up. And it's one of the reasons that I enjoy Milt's book so much, The Only One in the Room. It's a lifetime observations on race. This stuff really happened.
You know, back to LBJ, think about this, because in the news right now, you have the confirmation hearings of Jeff Sessions, mm-hmm. from Alabama. Can you imagine if LBJ was up for any position, the questions they would ask about prior statements of racial pejoratives aimed at black people? I was thinking about that this morning. And, you know, my parents, who were from the South, would use terms like, and it wasn't frequent, but they would call white people, when they were referring to Southerners, crackers or poor white trash. My parents were
honkies. They ever used honkies?
Well, no, because honkies was more what my generation would have called white people. But, you know, if you're going to hold everybody to the standard of what their attitudes were toward blacks or Mexicans or Italians or Jews, if you grew up in the 50s, the 60s, and whatever, you know, God bless you if you never called your friend a Polak or anything else. Those things were just, some of it was good-natured and some of it was fun that we would do back and forth across racial and ethnic things. But when I look at that, and then I look at the fact that LBJ, who was racist, I'm sure if you dig through stuff that he said, I'm sure he used the N-word.
He's on the phone with Hubert Humphrey in the movie.
Mm-hmm.
And he's standing right as soon as he takes over for Kennedy after JFK was assassinated. And he's being fitted for a new suit. Closing to be a theme this morning for some reason.
Yep.
But LBJ is being fitted by Manny, the Jewish tailor, in the Oval Office. And he's talking to Humphrey on the speakerphone. And he says to Humphrey, he says, did you see what that nigra comedian Dick Gregory said about me? And he that was like the slightly okay way to use the N-word back in the day.
Right. That was for hardcore Southerners, if they called you a nigra, they were trying to give you a compliment. They were giving you as much of a compliment as they could, even though it was you know, it was the Siamese twin to the other N word, so it really wasn't a compliment.
He said that Negro comedian Dick Gregory.
but
and here's what Gregory said. He said after LBJ's speech on civil rights to push the legislation, Gregory said that 20 million American Negroes unpacked.
See, but you look at that and to hold people accountable for statements that they made 20 or 30 years ago is just ridiculous.
Well, times change.
Times change and people change.
And Jeff Sessions has changed. But what was your take when African-American Senator Cory Booker, for the first time in Senate history, testified against a sitting senator for a position in the cabinet? And he did it basically saying that Sessions was unqualified to be attorney general because of his past attitudes on race.
Boy, then Robert Byrd would have never been a U.S. senator.
Explain to the beautiful humans who Robert Byrd was.
Robert Byrd was the senator from West Virginia. He was one of the higher-ups. I can't remember if he was the grand wizard of the Ku Klux Klan.
He was involved.
He was
high level.
At a high level. And over time, became a Democrat who was in favor of civil rights and equal rights for blacks. But let's face it, he had not only skeletons, he had sheets in his closets. And so you look at that and held to that standard, Robert Byrd would have never, would have been censored. And I'm not a big Robert Byrd fan, God rest his soul, because he passed away. But I sit there and I think about that. It drives me crazy when people will, and my sons will do this, they'll read a historical document from the 1800s and they'll judge somebody in the 1800s for being a racist. And I'll sit there and I'll think, it was 1810. In 1810, by our standards, they were racist. But in their society, no. So, you know, it would be like, oh, the people in the Old West, they were all gun crazy. Well, yeah, if you're going to apply today's standards inflexibly to everybody, you come to that conclusion. And I'm not excusing racist views, but what I'm saying is it's just at some point you have to allow people to move from what they said before. You know, I think Sessions said something in 1986 positive about the Ku Klux Klan. By the way, the thing that's never come out is he prosecuted
Klan. It has come out during the confirmation. And Cory Booker, the African-American senator from New Jersey, who I think was just auditioning for a presidential run in 2020, he was followed by an African-American from Alabama that Jeff Sessions had appointed to an attorney, a district attorney's post in the 80s. Mm-hmm. And he spoke highly of Jeff Sessions. This is Glenn Klein along with Milt Thompson. The great Tom Carco is awaiting us in the news center. Then we're going to speak with Burlington Mayor Jeanne Hefty. Milt's going to hang around. So, like always, it ain't going to be boring. So stay tuned for the great Tom Carco. But first, let's glean some intelligence for our life, shall we? From John Tesh.
Is it okay to let your pet lick your face?
Weather forecast. We could have a major thaw next week. It appears it's going to be pretty cold for the weekend. Not exceptionally so, but cold. But then start warming up Monday, and on Tuesday, Wednesday, and Thursday, we could have temperatures at least in the upper 30s and perhaps well into the 40s each day. But for today, mostly cloudy and cold. High 17 inland, 23 lakeside. Mostly cloudy tonight, low 20. More mostly cloudy and not as cold. High 33. Then Sunday, cloudy to partly sunny. There could be freezing rain at night, high 30. Racky weather. I'm meteorologist Elliot Abrams on your radio friend, WRJN.
12 degrees right now in Kenosha. Milwaukee is 11. It's 12 in Racine. Our friends in Burlington, well, they're going through some interesting times. It's probably about 12 degrees out there. Right now it says it's 64.
Yeah.
Although I can tell you earlier this morning, it got to 100 degrees there. Yep. You can ask Mayor Hefty about that.
I am going to mention it to Mayor Hefty.
Yeah.
Hefty.
I'm Tom Carco, WRJN News.
You are. You are the great Tom Carco. So there's a problem with the reporting station in Burlington. I wonder if Mayor Hefty is aware of it. We'll have to ask her.
Well, she knows a lot of things going on out there.
Sharp lady.
Yep.
Great lady. Great sense of humor.
Mm-hmm.
So,
she's had a cold lately.
Welcome to the planet.
Well, yeah.
Hope she's all right.
I know that during the last council meeting, she was getting through it.
Well, hopefully she'll be able to join us momentarily. I wonder if she's conflicted about the Packers and Cowboys games because of Burlington's Tony Romo being on the Cowboys.
You can ask her that. Good question.
I will. I'll ask her. You want to come over to the Gingerbread House and watch the game?
No, I'm busy. I got things going.
What are you doing?
Got things going.
Too busy to hang out with me?
That's it. Yes.
You're just making it up,
no,
aren't you?
No, I have things going.
You're not
going to
watch the game?
Oh, yeah.
In the background?
Yeah.
Yeah, you'll have it on.
Yeah.
So did you see yesterday that President Obama awarded Vice President Joe Biden with the Presidential Medal of Freedom?
Yep.
I don't know what to think about Biden.
I've always, just looking at it from a journalistic standpoint, and what a career the guy's had, it would be a fascinating interview just to talk to the guy.
He is so well-liked by people on both sides of the aisle.
Yeah.
But he has had some of the great bonehead lines of all time. Remember when President Obama was announcing the passing of the Affordable Care Act, and he didn't realize the microphone was hot, Vice President Biden? And he whispered to Obama, "This is a big effing deal." There's a lot of them from Joe Biden. Let's have a review now, shall we, of Vice President Joe Biden's greatest hits on your radio friend.
I wanted to be President of the United States. I could be Vice President.
One of the biggest.
I'm gonna give you the whole load today.
Can you reassure voters in this country that you would have the discipline you would need on the world stage, Senator?
Yes.
Thank you, Senator Biden.
Barack Obama has offered the number two spot on the ticket to Democratic Senator Joe Biden of Delaware.
Faithfully discharge
the duties of the office on which I am about to enter.
The duties of the office upon which I'm about to enter.
So help me God.
So help me God. Thank you, Mr. Justice.
A man who will be the next president of the United States, Barack America.
Hillary Clinton Barack is qualified America. Or more qualified than I am to be Vice President of the United States of America. And quite frankly, it might have been a better pick than me.
We're going to cut through the liquor section.
Tens of millions of Americans will be a whole lot healthier from this moment on. Ladies and gentlemen, the President of the United States of America, Barack Obama.
And here's where he says, this is a big effing deal.
Look at what they value and look at their budget and what they're proposing. Romney wants to let...
He's speaking before the African American caucus right now.
Once again, write their own rules. Unchain Wall Street. They're going to put y'all back in chains.
You got the first sort of mainstream African American who is articulate and bright and clean, nice looking guy.
A nice looking guy.
That's a storybook, man.
It's clean.
Tishuk knows a lot about it. His mom lived in Long Island for 10 years or so. God rest her soul. And although she's wait, your mom's still alive. Your dad's back.
God bless her soul.
God bless her soul.
And I promise you, as I told my wife, we live in an area that's wooded and somewhat secluded. I said, Jill, if there's ever a problem, just walk out on the balcony here or walk out, put that double barrel shotgun and fire two blasts outside the house. Buy a shotgun. John's
this is what he was advocating for gun control.
Does nothing to tackle the number one job facing the middle class. And it happens to be, as Barack says, a three-letter word, jobs. J-O-B-S, jobs.
Could you imagine if Dan Quayle said that?
Even call centers, which rushed overseas in the hundreds of thousands. How many times you get the call? I'd like to talk to you about your credit card.
And I am so proud to stand alongside someone
this
who
is
knows
Jill Biden.
The value of a community college education.
Jill is probably right. I think I'd have the same attitude did I not sleep with a community college professor every night.
of the same one. The same.
Those walls were awful thin. I wonder how the hell my parents did it, but that's a different story.
Thank you, Terry. And thank you, Dr. Pepper. And thank you, Chancellor, or Dr. Pepper. And
Dr.
thank you,
Pepper.
Chancellor.
I've known 8 presidents, 3 of the minimum.
Heed the timeless advice from Teddy Roosevelt. Speak softly and carry a big stick. End of quote. I promise you, the president has a big stick. I promise you.
He promises you that President Barack Obama has a big stick. And it goes on and on.
It's incredible. Obviously, the one that bugs me, and he lost a lot of credibility in my eyes, was the one where he said, and he's going to put y'all back in chains.
Yeah, he said that in front of a black audience.
Right, and that was, people talk about pandering. That's so far beyond pandering. That, but it, think of what your attitude has to be about the audience you're with if you believe that statement will manipulate them into a level of fear where they'll think that Romney is actually, if he had won the election, going to put black people back in chains.
Yeah. He is civil rights leader Milt Thompson. This is Glenn Klein on WRJN. Yeah, we're just enjoying Joe Biden moments. And he got the Presidential Medal of Freedom, did Biden yesterday, from President Obama. In a few moments, we are going to be talking with Mayor Jeanie Hefty of the great city of Burlington. But first, we're going to cover sports. But did you hear, Milt, that I owe Kenosha County Executive Jim Kruser a brat?
No. How did that happen?
We bet on the first Bears-Packers game. And I took the Bears. Kenosha County Executive Jim Kruser took the Packers. So,
Have you actually watched the Bears play lately? I'm just curious.
Well, no, because it's been playoffs, so it's been... They've been kind. The Bears don't play anymore until next year.
Kenosha County Executive Jim Kruser won his football brat bet with Glenn Klein. And this Tuesday morning at 11 o'clock, it's time for Glenn to pay up live in studio right here on your radio friend, WRJN. Being the good sport that he is, Glenn's going to do it right with a quality brat. How will he do it? With a brat from Danny's Meats and Catering at 1317 4 Mile Road, Racine. Right now, Danny's has bratwursts on sale for just $2.99 a pound. See it all at dannysmeats.com.
From the Fox Sports Studios in Los Angeles.
Weather forecast. We could have a major thaw next week. It appears it's going to be pretty cold for the weekend. Not exceptionally so, but cold. But then start warming up Monday, and on Tuesday, Wednesday, and Thursday, we could have temperatures at least in the upper 30s and perhaps well into the 40s each day. But for today, mostly cloudy and cold, high 17 inland, 23 lakeside. Mostly cloudy tonight, low 20. More mostly cloudy and not as cold, high 33. Then Sunday, cloudy to partly sunny. There could be freezing rain at night, high 30. For AccuWeather, I'm meteorologist Elliot Abrams on your radio friend, WRJN.
Thank you, EA. In Kenosha right now, we've got partly sunny skies and 12 degrees. At Mayor Jeanie Hefty's Municipal Burlington Airport, 69 degrees. They're having a problem out there. But I think it's a scheme of the Burlington Chamber of Commerce. Mayor Hefty, in our last community conversation, would not confirm nor deny. In Milwaukee at Mitchell International Airport, it's cloudy and 11 degrees. And here at Magnum.media's international headquarters in Racine at WRJN, 12 degrees. The wind is out of the north at 8 miles an hour, producing a wind chill of a goose egg. The dew point is -1. The relative humidity is 56%, and the barometric pressure is still rising at 30.78. It is 9 minutes after 10 o'clock. This is your friendly neighborhood radio talk show host, Glenn Klein, on a Thank God It's Friday the 13th. Milt Thompson is back in the studio, the author of the book, The Only One in the Room. Once again, Milt, you are.
Yes, I am.
What percentage of your life, when you've been with other beautiful humans in a public setting, would you estimate that you've been the only African-American in the room?
Wow. Professionally, more than 50, maybe as high as 75, 80%. And it depends upon the context when I was superintendent of Beloit, hardly at all, because Beloit's diverse. When I was superintendent of Pulaski, almost all the time. And then when I was interim superintendent in Clinton, Wisconsin, primarily all the time.
They named Clinton after Bill Clinton?
No. It was named long before.
Oh, it was?
Probably DeWitt Clinton, you know. I don't forget. I forget what he did back in the 1700s.
He did something.
Steam engine or something.
Probably
like
was
that.
Racist. This community conversation with Bill Thompson is being brought to you in part by St. Monica's Senior Living. So I was talking to a very good and old friend of mine just the other day, and she is a devotee of what they call legitimate theater. And a number of years ago, they went to an African-American theater. Mm-hmm. And they were the only ones in the room, this couple. And there were some other races there besides African-Americans, but very few white people. And they noticed that when they would go to so-called white legitimate theater, that there were almost no African-Americans that would show up to that. Mm-hmm. And here's what they said to me. This was just the other day. Is that if they decided at that point that if they, in quotes, would not support our legitimate theater, that we weren't going to support theirs. And I said, I really don't look at it that way.
No.
but this is a very wonderful person who still is manifesting a we versus them mentality in 2017.
Mm-hmm. But when you look at it, I mean, from political figures and a lot of the dialogue, a lot of the things that have gone on before the election and especially afterwards, you know we're a we versus they kind of country where race is concerned. Race, I thought that race was the subtext for a lot of things in the last few years. But not like in the last few weeks. In the last few weeks, how many stories have you seen, Glenn, that are related to race? I mean, it's all the time. It's all the time.
Of course, President Obama, in his farewell address, and he's been saying this a lot, that he believes that race relations are actually better since he became president. He says contrary to what a lot of people feel and think. When Mr. Obama became president in 2009, 22% of Americans said race relations were poor.
Mm-hmm.
In a recent survey in 2016, 63% of Americans said that race relations were poor. That's a significant difference in 8 years. Now, how much of that is reality?
Mm-hmm.
And how much of that is perception?
This will sound like the coward's way out. I think it's a little bit of both. When you look at the high-profile things that have happened, the shooting of Walter Scott and other things, that you know race was a part of it, I think that that drives the numbers up because people can see if there's a white police officer that shoots an unarmed black civilian who's sitting in his car, or take the situation in Tulsa, which was caught on camera, which is the most egregious. Of course people would know that race relations appear to be going backward. That along with the over-the-top rhetoric that people hear. Everybody's a racist. Anybody who disagrees with the president is a racist. It has to be because he's black. It cannot possibly be because of his policies. You look at all of that, and after a while, people wonder, because they've seen racism. They've seen racism that was over the top. They've seen, those of us that are older, the Klan march. They've seen pictures of people being lynched. They've seen the worst of the worst. And yet, when they hear over-the-top conversation now about race, that makes everything racist. Every slight is racist. Every thing that's done, if a white person disagrees with a black person, it has to be because they're racist. That makes, when you think about it, it makes real racism, it so trivializes yes. real instances of racism.
This is why I get so peeved when somebody compares almost anything to Nazi Germany, mm-hmm. because it trivializes the Third Reich, what Hitler did, not only to the Jewish people, but to the entire planet. There were tens of millions of innocent people that died mm-hmm. during World War II because of what Hitler did. When President-elect Trump the other day compared this leak of this scurrilous charges against him, that Russia has his dossier on him, as does it sound like Nazi Germany? He said this. I thought that was absolutely outrageous. Mm-hmm. And so, yes, when everything is racism and when people are so politically correct that they have to assign certain attitudes and certain prejudices to somebody, for example, coming against President Obama, I really enjoy Bill Maher's show a lot, especially when he has people on the opposing side of you. I think it's much more interesting mm-hmm. than when he just has the Amen corner. But he absolutely believes that the reasons that the Republicans came against Obama so tough during the course of not only his early presidency but throughout was because they're prejudiced and that they're bigoted and racist.
See, what's funny is...
Which I don't respect that viewpoint of his at all. I think it's lazy.
I don't respect that viewpoint. Now, if someone would ask me, do you believe that there are any Republican senators or congressmen who came against the president and you know, subconsciously, race was a part of it? I wouldn't completely do away with that. Now, well, that sounds strange given what I've written in my book and other things that I've said, but I'm not that naive. But to say that the only reason that Republicans came against him is because he's a black man is just so over the top. It is lazy. It does not take into account that we have a contentious political system. When George W. Bush, who is white, was president, it was contentious. There were people who came against him. Was it because he's white or from Texas or, you know, whatever?
He's really white, George W. Bush.
Well, he's not Lily. He's not as white as mayonnaise. Come on, don't paint the day. He's not as white as that sheet of paper.
I'm not talking about his complexion. I'm talking about he is white guy. But when Obama says that 22 or that race relations have improved, I think that as divisive as people who are neo-Nazis or members of the KKK are, that there's a lot of divisiveness on the left vis-a-vis race.
Yeah.
And that they're the ones that want to categorize oftentimes people by the color of their skin or by their sexual orientation. Here's one thing that Bill Maher says. He says, not all Republicans are racist, but if you're a racist and you're part of a political party, you're a Republican.
Oh, my goodness.
What do you think about that?
No, because there are Democrats that are racist as well. You know, it's funny, because I'm doing a presentation at the State Educational Conference next week, I've had to think about race a lot because part of my presentation will deal with the achievement gap, the wealth gap, and those kinds of things. And there was a statement that George W. Bush made that really has stuck with me, and it's the soft racism of low expectations. And if that's true, that there's soft racism of low expectations, then I would have to lay that more at the feet of liberals, because I believe that liberals and I believe that their attitude toward blacks is making excuses for everything. If a black child misbehaves in school, we can't discipline them at all, because of course it's because of fill in the blank, all of these things. And so what happens then, that child is doomed because they live in a two-tiered society where some students have high expectations, are expected to behave a certain place or way, are expected to perform at a certain level, but because they're black and because they're poor and all of that, they don't have the same level of expectations, or especially when it comes to behavior in school. So I look at that and I go, there's a different kind of racism. You know, I'm not as far as Alan West, former congressman of Florida, who said that he believed that the Democratic Party wanted blacks to stay on the plantation, and he made the connection of the plantation being the Democratic Party, that they were only happy with blacks who said and believed the same things that were aligned with Democrats. Anybody else, of course, wasn't allowed to hold those views.
Well, oftentimes, of course, if an African-American man or woman is more conservative or aligns themselves with somebody like Donald Trump or the Republican Party, they are just immediately labeled Uncle Toms.
Oh, yeah. I'm sure that to some of the people listening to this program who are black, because my views are all over the place, I'm probably an Uncle Tom to some of them, because I don't have a party line. I look instance by instance at what goes on, and when there's real racism, I call it out. When there's contrived racism, because people disagree with the Black Lives Matter movement or whatever, that's not racism. We live in a country where you get to disagree on issues, and thank God for that. I love being an American because of the fact that someone doesn't hold a gun to my head and say, you'd better believe this way or else. But the shame of it is, and you and I talked about it, there is, for the inauguration, there is a black college, Talladega College, that has been invited to have their marching band at the inauguration. And the president of that college has come under severe fire by alumni of that college that they are a shame and a disgrace to black people, that they would go to the inauguration of Donald Trump, that racist Donald Trump. Now, can you imagine? And I've lived a good long life, and so have you. Have you ever heard of situations like this?
No, but we've never had a president like this.
No, and again, and I told my wife this last night, I am not a Trump apologist. When he says something stupid, that's on him. I'm not going to sit there and you know, make him into a silk purse when he does things that are sow's ear stupid, you know, but neither am I going to vilify him on every single thing that he does, especially before he takes office. I want to see.
He certainly has been divisive in his campaign. There's no doubt about it.
No.
And I mean, and negative and bizarre. And as I said, we've never seen anything like it. How racist do you think Donald Trump actually is, though?
Oh, my goodness. I knew you were going to get around to that. I think that when you look at the people he's employed and other things, to me, I look more at a person's actions. If a person is racist in their speech, and then I find out they've never hired a black person, they've never done whatever, then it's like Jesus said, by their fruits you'd know them. In other words, by their actions, you'll know them. But if a person is acclaimed to be a racist, but blacks run their corporations and, you know, and are among their circle of friends and all of that, then there's a dissonance there, and I can't acclaim them to be a racist.
When he was really being accused early on of being a racist, Trump, he was at a large rally, as all his rallies were enormous in size, and he saw an African-American man in the crowd. Do you remember this?
No.
And he said, there's my African-American. He was wearing a Make America Great Again t-shirt. And that's how he articulated it. There's my African-American. Look at my African-American. What are you to make of that?
Oh, that's stupid.
It's ignorant.
Yeah, it is. But we've
hired an ignorant man to be president.
But let me tell you something. If you look at the vast majority of white people in the United States, how many of them really have experience with African Americans? And I'm not talking about the fact that they work in a cubicle next to an African American. I'm talking about a relationship. I'm talking about socializing. I'm talking about the kind of interaction that people would have with people of the same race. And I hate to tell you this, very few. I'm not saying none, and I'm not saying 3%, but I'm telling you that the vast majority. Now, fairly, you could ask me, how many African Americans have the same kind of experience socializing, voluntarily socializing with white people, going to church with white people and other things? And you would be fair in throwing that back in my face. But I'm telling you, you get stupid things because people are trying to, he's trying to score points because the Republicans are always accused of, nope, you never see a black person at a Republican rally. And part of it is you don't see as many. I'd have to be honest
with that. It's not even close.
It's not even close. But I also believe that there are Republicans who don't put their 10 black people, you know, as a photo op over the shoulder of the speaker so that everybody knows.
But they should.
They
because when we started this conversation, we talked about perception versus reality, and there is a convergence of both. And yes, this is, we're looking at this. Yesterday, General Mattis was testifying before the Senate committee that will confirm him, and there was this very attractive blonde woman sitting behind General Mattis, and it went viral just because she happened to be like, who is this woman?
You think she was a plant?
I don't know, but images really make a difference. Branding, and you know, Trump often talked about his theme, "Make America Great Again." And what was Hillary's theme? There's truth to that. This is what sells in America. Mm-hmm. Very brief statements that are repeated over and over and over again, because that's how we learn, and that's. Reminds me that I've got to read this, that we're being sponsored by St. Monica Senior Living, this community conversation with Milt Thompson. And you know, Milt, when someone you care about needs a little help, maybe it is time to look into assisted living at St. Monica's. For over 45 years, St. Monica Senior Living has been providing compassionate, person-centered care for their residents on North Green Bay Road in Racine. St. Monica's really is like home, with great food, a loving staff, and a lot of activities to participate in. The move to assisted living is, of course, a big decision. Come see why St. Monica's is the right choice for so many. You can schedule your tour of St. Monica's Senior Living today by calling 262-639-5050 or go to their website at stmonicasseniorliving.com to learn more. St. Monica's Senior Living on North Green Bay Road in Racine, where you are the heart of their home. It is 28 minutes after 10 o'clock. It is Monday morning. We got a weekend yet. It's Friday morning. Glenn Klein along with Milt Thompson on Community Conversations. I want to get your take on this controversial painting that is up in the nation's capital right now, portraying the shooting of Michael Brown in Ferguson. And they've got a police officer portrayed and dressed as a pig, literally a pig, shooting a guy with his arms extended. A Missouri high school student is a student's controversial painting that won an award for to be displayed in the Capitol is at the center of this thing. Last night, somebody posted a picture of a supportive painting above it for police officers. This painting has been taken down and put back up, this painting of the cop portrayed as a pig. And it is, of course, an African-American predominated congressional district that this young man won the contest for. It's an African-American congressman that is supporting that right to post that and to keep that displayed. What is your take on all that?
Boy, do they have the right to do that? Yes, under the Constitution, you have freedom of expression. Does it continue to feed the divisiveness that we were just talking about? Of course it does. If if the painting was of a police officer shooting an unarmed black man, given all the instances that we've had over the last few years, that would be reality. I wouldn't have a problem with that. I think what happens is displaying a picture where a police officer is a pig shooting an unarmed black man takes the intent of the message of the painting and then skews it in a direction where people who don't agree with it would even talk about it and say, you know what, that did happen. It's the kind of hyperbola, though it's art, that we were talking about before, where people have the inability now to be able to have discussions that are intense and reasonable. Everything's got to be over the top. So do I agree with the painting and the sentiment of it? No. Should that be in the Capitol? I'm really restrictive where art is concerned. A crucifix in a jar of urine, I would never want displayed either. And yet, in our day and time, that's art.
But that was not in the nation's capital building.
No. But again, that's under the freedom of expression. I think that we've taken our freedoms and separated them from responsibility and from reasonableness.
He is Milt Thompson. He is the local civil rights leader, pastor, and author of the book, The Only One in the Room, A Lifetime of Observations on Race. Let's finish on a positive note.
Okay.
You mentioned Talladega College, the president of the historically black school, coming under fire for allowing or encouraging even their school band to play at Donald Trump's inauguration. They needed about $50,000, so they did a GoFundMe account.
Right.
It's now over $250,000.
Right, because he was on the O'Reilly Factor, yeah. And after being on the O'Reilly Factor, money started pouring in.
Yeah.
It must have been those racist whites who...
That watched Bill O'Reilly.
That watched Bill O'Reilly, exactly. You know, who sent the money in feeling white guilt, you know, out of their white privilege. They opened up their bank accounts and did that. And, of course, I'm being sarcastic.
Thank you for letting me know that. I would not have picked up on
that. I know you wouldn't have. That's why I did it.
Always good to see you. Have a good weekend. Go Packers.
Yes.
And enjoy your service Sunday.
I always do.
Now, it's not going to go until 3:30, till kickoff, is it?
No.
You never know, though. The Holy Ghost drops. You never know.
You never know.
This Community Conversations with Milt Thompson has been brought to you by St. Monica's Senior Living. It is 28 minutes until 11 o'clock. The great Tom Carco is awaiting us patiently in the news center with this hour's WRJN news block momentarily.
Winter blahs setting in. Holiday hangover hitting your...